Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We had Scott Pioli on yesterday. We were talking to him about where we think the Steelers may go in the draft and just overarching philosophies about, for example, what do you do at running back? Do you need, does everybody have to have a running back by committee now, or can you still get away with that sort of workhorse back, a number one guy in the backfield?
I think a lot of teams have proved that you can do it both ways, right? And I'm a big believer that you need to have one bell cow, for lack of a better term, running back. But then you also need another back to complement the, you know, whoever the top back is. And you either want to have a guy who's similar or a guy who's very different, what we call a change of pace back. Sometimes you see that COP, change of pace back. And to me, I think the idea of even the great backs need to be spelled at some point. And what you need to do also in order for your entire offense to be effective is you need to have another back that's going to keep the defense off balance. But, you know, saying that, what you don't want to have is when you switch backs, you reduce your playbook significantly and dramatically where the defense then has an idea of what your play call limitations might be.
He used the phrase or the term there, bell cow, which leads me to wonder how aligned he and Mike Tomlin might be on philosophies about running backs, because we've seen every single year Mike Tomlin will come into training camp. He'll have his little first meeting with the media at St. Vincent, and he'll talk about how, or he'll be asked specifically about how he's going to handle the running game. And, well, we want to keep everybody involved. And then inevitably he ends up going with just one guy. That's the way it always goes with Mike Tomlin. So if this is not about what we think they should do, Colin, because I think we have a little bit of a difference of opinion of what to do at 24 overall in the first round, and lots of people think they should do different things. Offensive line, running back, some people still say quarterback. But regardless of what everyone else thinks, how do we think it plays out? Thursday night, April 29th, they're in the war room down on the south side, and they're getting ready to make that pick at 24. And the impact running back, the quote-unquote bell cow, Najee Harris from Alabama or Travis Etienne from Clemson, they're both still around, and there's multiple offensive linemen they like on the board. That's all. How does that play out when Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, their support staff, Brandon Hunt and more from the scouting department, maybe Art Rooney II is in there because it's the first-round pick, they all look at each other and talk about it. Mike Tomlin still wants to scratch that itch to get that bell cow back,
well,
doesn't he?
Can I – you know, I'm against – first-round running backs, but in a weird way, and nobody's really brought this up, I don't think, that when you really think about it, and you don't have to think too long about it, I mean, both teams that made the Super Bowl this year had a first-round running back in Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Leonard Fournette, right? I mean, they've gone roundabout, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets right there. Leonard Fournette takes a pretty, a pretty circuitous sort of route to get there. But they have him, and then they have Ronald Jones, who I think is a second-round pick in Tampa. You know, but both teams who got there had a first-round running back. So I
– That's a great point.
I still would go offensive lineman. I think that they're not the norm, though, in terms of – and the way that the offense runs in Kansas City – I don't think that they need a first-round running back in order to make it function. I think that he just added a really great supplemental piece. I still go offensive line. I still really believe, now that we know that there's a finite timeline on Ben, which means there's going to be a finite timeline on launching the new quarterback, which would be for 2022, I think you have to do as much as you can to start the build of that offensive line.
And I don't disagree, and I still think – but at the same time, I still think I'd have a hard time passing on Harris or Etienne if they're there at 24, unless I knew I was going to try to move up from 55 in the second round. But I'd love to know, and we've made our positions pretty clear on that, what will the dynamic be like on that night? You know, Kevin Colbert had a lot of interesting things to say about the quarterback a few weeks ago, right? The quarterback ends up sticking around anyway. And the quarterback is going to be here for one more year. And it's, you know, when Aditi laid out what the dynamic was like between the big three, Art Rooney II, Kevin Colbert, and Mike Tomlin, I thought it was interesting that you kind of had a Goldilocks scenario of too hot, too cold, and just right as far as how all three of them felt about bringing Ben Roethlisberger back. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it comes down to it. If it's a similar scenario on draft night, if Kevin Colbert says, hey, listen, before I get out of here, I got to make sure this offensive line is in a good enough state that it can protect whoever the quarterback is and have some semblance of a running game. And Mike Tomlin says, man, I'd love to have a three-down back I can rely on to not just carry the ball but catch it out of the backfield and block too. And Art Rooney II is the middleman and says, what?
Well, define three-down back, though. You're telling me Le'Veon Bell? You're telling me someone like that? And you think that Najee Harris can give you that?
I think Harris and ATN can, yeah.
I still wonder about, I don't think ATN, I don't think he's a first-round back. I don't think. I watched him a lot. I think he's okay. I think he's pretty good. Obviously, he played with the best quarterback ever, so that changes things. I wonder about Harris, and I hate to knock backs. I do, but he has a guy in front of him who's going to be a first-round draft pick in the Leatherwood guy. He plays with a collection of the greatest talent that there is in college football.
Both of them are surrounded by so much talent,
right.
It makes it so hard
it's
to
hard
evaluate how good
for me to evaluate
really
guys that play on all-star teams. And I just
sure.
I don't know if Najee Harris is going to translate to this wonderful back that so many people are saying. I think that I would rather build from the front back. And you give me a good line, I'll take my chances that someone sure. that has a decent amount of ability can get it done for me at the running back position.
Can I tell you, given all Art Rooney II has said about the running game the last couple of off seasons, and he's been right, and it hasn't necessarily just been personnel, it's been scheme as well, and it's not just been on the backs, it's been on the offensive line, especially this most recent season. I don't know if he wouldn't go if he had to choose between two sides again. I go offensive line because that's what Kevin may want, or I go running back because that may be what Mike Tomlin wants. I don't know if he doesn't go in on a running back if he's given the opportunity to make the final say. They may all agree in that room on that Thursday night and say, "Hey, there's an offensive tackle. We got to take that. We need it." But I think it'll be curious to see. And we may never know unless they do some sort of inside the war room special on what the Steelers are doing the first round of the draft on that Thursday night. But I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see how that dynamic plays out between those three guys when they make that pick.
I wonder if now that there's a firm timeline on the quarterback that it changes things. It changes the direction. And if they say, well, if a running back isn't as important, we need to go ahead and really insulate this line and figure it out with the line and build from there. I don't know. I have no idea which way. And also, you really have to wonder about now the long-term future of Kevin Colbert that the timeline is defined with Ben Roethlisberger right now.
Yeah. All right, we'll get Jim in on the conversation in a little less than 15 minutes. Also, got to talk to Mike DeFabo, covers the Penguins, about last night's meltdown at PPG Paints Arena. And a succession plan at quarterback. Is it any clearer? Certainly doesn't seem so after Ben Roethlisberger agreed with the Steelers yesterday to restructure his deal to come back for one more year. We'll also talk about that as well as some of those draft day storylines we just kicked around with Jason Lockenfora, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider at 9:30. But I had to mention this, Colin, because I know how you feel about these kind of stories.
Okay.
I saw it this morning. At 118 years old, the world's oldest living person is preparing to carry the Olympic torch this May in Japan. Kane Tanaka, who has twice survived cancer, lived through two global pandemics, and loves fizzy drinks, will take the flame as it passes through Shime in her home prefecture of Fukuoka. Tanaka's family will push her in a wheelchair for most of her 100-meter leg. But the super centenarian, that's what they call a person over 110 years old, is determined to walk the final few steps as she passes the torch to the next runner. 118 years old.
All right, there's something here. Big ups for being a two-time cancer survivor.
Yes.
Big ups there. Big ups for drinking pop still, if she likes pop or whatever, and surviving
fizzy drinks.
Yeah. And surviving two global pandemics. I don't know what she likes. She's a Penguins fan. I don't know. Maybe she likes Mr. Pibb or whatever, or RC Cola, excuse me. Who knows if she's a Pens fan? She ain't 118. She's not. I'm not saying she's lying. I'm just saying she's not truly 118. It's like Albert Pujols. It's just there's this is a lie here. This is a lie. And here's why. I don't ever believe people. Now, I will. When I'm dead, I'll believe it once there's good. 118 years ago, I'm just saying there wasn't good enough record keeping. I'll give her maybe 107. Tops. Tops.
Wow, you think they're that far off?
Yes.
They say she was born in 1903.
No.
And she got married at 19, so she would have been married in 1922.
No.
According to their math.
Whenever we have these stories, I don't believe it because I don't believe the record keeping 118 years ago would have was good enough to nail down. I think it's an about and it's an approximation, right?
See, I'll give you maybe 3 to 4 years.
No way.
But I can't. She would have been too old at a certain point to understand how old she was. Do you know what I mean? Like when you're 12 years old, or if you're 4 years old and someone tells you you're 12, you figure it out after a while.
Maybe, but she's 118. She may she may 40 years ago have been too old to kind of understand and remember stuff from when she was little. 40 years ago. So I don't believe she's 118. I never believe anybody once they get north of 100 in this day and age, like 105 or so, I get real questionable. 110, no way. No way. Now, if you're telling me someone was born in like 1950 something and we get 100 years removed from that, I'll start to believe it because the record keeping got better. It also, the other part of it too, it depends on the part of the world. You know, if this person lives in the middle of nowhere Japan, right? What's the record keeping like there? And what year did you allege she was born?
I didn't allege. It's in the story in CNN. 1903.
Was there like a division of, you know, like the
she didn't get somebody like wrote something down somewhere, I would think, right?
Where? Show me. Show me the thing. She has a social security card. Like, show me.
Japan. Do they have social security? I don't know.
Maybe.
Matt, make a call on this. Is this lady really 118 years old?
I wonder if she's related to Tanaka the pitcher, by the way. Spelled the same way, right? Did you say?
It's
Tanaka?
I think it's a pretty common name over there.
Might be. No way. Not happened. Now, what happens when Ben is 118 and he's still on the one-year contract?
Oh, they'll restructure his deal again.
And there'll be
so that he can play with Marquise Pouncey's grandson.
Right. And he'll say, well, I'm only playing for $1 million this year. Well, you know, here's the thing. And Mason Rudolph standing there. Mason Rudolph standing there at 104 going, man, I wonder if I'm ever going to get my chance. This kind of sucks. I've been a backup now. Man, I've been a backup for 81 years for this team. Jeez. This is tough.
Ben in his rascal scooter.
Yes.
Taking snaps in the shotgun.
Mason Rudolph has set every preseason NFL record ever. Just
obliterated
them. Getting
yet another offensive coordinator fired.
Yes. Oh, man.
That's too much. I think I'm willing to buy that she's at least like, she's got to be at least like 112. I don't know. I don't know why I'm willing to believe this one more than I usually would, but I think I'm willing to believe this one more than I usually would.
Tell Tanaka, call the show, 412-928-9370. Tell her, text. Do you think she texts? Do you think Tanaka's ever sent a text at 118? Yes or no? Matt, what do you think?
No
texts for her?
No, she sounds like she's a pretty modernized 118-year-old. I bet she has.
Now, why is she carrying the flame? Simply because, I mean, her qualification is old. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's it. There's nothing extraordinary about like her athletic career or anything. I don't think.
I would hope not.
All the way down through the story. When you're the oldest person on the planet, you get to carry the Olympic torch.
Wow. Okay.
Staying curious and doing math are her secrets to keeping the mind sharp and the body healthy.
There you go.
So there it is.
Jeez.
I don't know about doing math.
Yeah, I don't know about the doing math by choice
part.
That
does not sound fun.
Well, I'll tell you who needs to do better math is at Japan Bureau of Records and Measures, because there's no way she's 118.
Does she cross out the articles in the paper after like she's Ron done Cook reading does. Them? I've yes. heard that that keeps your mind sharp as well. Follow yes. us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. Driven by Jim Shorty,
I'm
Kia
okay.
Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.